We thank the Lord for the Dispensation Day, and we wanted to cover some scriptures about the Church of God. As we were reading the Birth of Reformation, and we realized that's over 100 years ago, that it seems like every time we choose to read the Birth of Reformation and just spend some time in that book, that the Spirit of the Lord just really inspires me and blesses me. And we just wanted to share some scriptures with you today and encourage you. We know that many of us understand and have a vision of the church, but we believe that we really need to be inspired all the days of our life with this, because this is something that will hold us steady and we can build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and have the vision of the church. Then when temptations comes or trials or tests, we will not be moved away. We will know where we are. And I believe that probably why some people have difficulties and do not stay with it is because they're lacking that true vision of the Church of God. And so we want to try to share with some scriptures for inspiration this morning to thank God. We had a Thanksgiving service to thank God for the Church of God. And thank God that He gave us the understanding. It seemed like when I hear the state ministers preach the truth, it does something for me. Because all of us, when we go out in different places, just being in the world and around the world, we hear false doctrine, little bits here and there. And it's so refreshing to be in a camp meeting with the saints and hear the truth. And we're so thankful that we understand. And that's why we have unity with one another. It's because we build on that foundation of the true Church of God. And there's even many Church of Gods out there, but many of them don't believe correctly. So we just thank the Lord. This is why we stay with it. This is why we've been with the saints over 40 years. It's because we know that we have the doctrine right, and we have the right spirit. We have a sweet spirit, and the saints are sweet people. They're kind people. They're loving people. They're godly people, and they live sinless lives. And this is why we are in unity with one another. And was mentioned, sometimes it may be small crowds or large crowds, but that doesn't really move us, because we have a vision and we understand whether that God has a church, that even there is some in other places that are not with the saints that are really saved, that God's will was to bring them out, and He wants, and there is one fold, one church, one God. That's all there is. There's not many. And I know I was talking on my airplane. I went to West Virginia to see my mother, and talking to someone there on the airplane, and they wanted to talk to about God. And sometimes I don't talk to them. They don't want to talk, but they wanted to talk about God. So they said they believed in God. And so I tried to teach them a little bit about the true church. And even though they weren't, from my understanding, looking at them and seeing what they were saying to me, it really, not that I'm the judge, but I pretty figure out they need to be saved, you know. But they looked at me and they said, "I understand. That sounds simple. That's very simple. I understand that." Now, you know, it really amazed me that they could see, well, yeah, that understands that we could one church. Now, you know, I just wonder, what is the matter? Then why do we have so many divisions and carnality working and sectism working? If someone that's not saved like that, just a little bit of talking with them, say, that makes sense to me. That's simple. God would like one church. And I said, and they even brought up, they said, man confuses it. And I said, yes, man confuses it. And it just made me amazed. And I thought, you know, could it be that people are just choosing another church or another way because they do not want to measure up? They do not want God's way. So they're trying to find an easier way to ease their conscience and still say that I am saved, you know, and I'm okay. But, you know, the true saints of God, we don't want to be fanatical, no, and we don't want to compromise, but at the same time, we want to be all what God wants us to be. We don't want to make excuses for the flesh. Like we hear, we don't want to be carnal. We don't want to have carnality thinking. We want to be all what God wants us to be because we know that's what will help us to make it to heaven. We want to read in Zechariah, you pray for us, and the 14th chapter of Zechariah 6 and 7, it says, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And then it says here in the 9th verse, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. I'm just thankful this morning that we are serving one God and one Jesus. And Jesus doesn't want us to have division. And Jesus doesn't want us to have different sections. Every time I think about this, I think of the different sections. Sectism is made of different sections and divisions, and it causes us not to be able to work with people like we would like to, because they say, well, I am this, I'm of this church, and I'm of that church, you know, and so I don't believe like you, and it brings disharmony and disunity. But God doesn't want that. If God had his way, all Christians would be one. Because if that could work like God wants, and it does work, and we do see the vision of it, and we do see the understanding of it, but if God could do that in the world today, more people would be saved. This is why the devil works to divide and bring disunity, because he knows that he can hinder souls. So we must work all we can to promote unity and love in a godly way. Not that we accept wrong, but that we, the ones that are doing the right thing and living right, we want to do the very best we can to love one another and work with one another and encourage one another and bless one another and help one another along. God loves his church. He died for us, like we heard in that song. His stream of blood flowing for us. We also want to read over here in Ezekiel, in the 34th chapter and 11th verse, it says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered, in the cloudy and dark day. And it goes in the 14th verse, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. You know, the Lord is interested in feeding his sheep. Like he told Peter and them when they, you know, after he arose from the grave and after he died on the cross and he arose from the grave, but yet the disciples at first, you know, was a little bit confused and maybe a little bit downhearted because Jesus had died, you know, and so they just thought, well, we'll just go back fishing. But Jesus went out there and as he was doing the little fish there on the shore and they recognized it was Jesus. And he said, Peter, feed my sheep. You lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. And you know, that's our desire. And you know, that's the desire of children of God. Saints need to be fed. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been with the saints. You need to be fed of God. And you need to be places where you can hear the word of God preached. And we need to stir ourselves sometimes to get to camp meetings, things, all of us, we need to stir ourselves to get there so we can be fed. And, you know, we think about years ago when we came here and Sister Laverne was living and we remember her and just different ones. And I'm sure all of you can think of different ones that have passed and gone. But you may not really realize it, but in God's church, those people have been they have affected your life. And they have put something in you. And you may not really realize it, but hearing those messages, seeing those things, have encouraged you to know that this is the church. And it has caused you to have a good foundation. And it has caused you not to be led away into sectism. You know, if we just only looked at people and we didn't see this vision, sometimes the enemy could take advantage of that. But when we understand that it is God's will for us to be in the church of God, and God doesn't want us to be moved away by anything. He wants us to hold till we die. Stay right with it. You know, Ruth said when Naomi tried to turn her away, she wanted to go with Naomi, and she wanted to be with her and her people. And she says, where you go, I will go. And whether thou diest, I will die. But don't turn me away from following you. And, you know, that's the kind of consecration we need to make. Lord, I'm staying with this. I know we just need to do that. We need to have a vision and an understanding so strong that nothing will move us. No matter what happens in this life, we'll stay with it to the very end. Do not let the enemy work on your mind or discourage you in any way. You stay faithful to God. But God's sheep, he will feed his sheep. And Ezekiel 34 and 31 says, "And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture," very, very, how can I word it? Just, he says, "are men." In other words, I'm going to bring it down now and just explain to you exactly what my flock is. They're men. And men means women too, but they're men. "And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God." You belong to me, and I am your God. And you know, when we belong to God, God does miracles for us, and he works for us, and he heals us. And like was mentioned earlier, God does heal his people in the church of God. And don't look at the ones that are not being healed, because someday we will not be healed, because it will be time for us to die. And people die of all ages, and that is not our business, what God does with his people. We must believe enough in God that God does everything right. Amen. Did not Job say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord"? You must have enough confidence in God and believe in God, that the providence of God, that whatever happens, it was God's will. And do not get bitter toward God in any way, but keep him where he belongs, that he's God, and he has a right to do with what he wants to do with his own. We must pray to the very end. We can pray and have faith in God. Read a little bit about Brother Warner, but when he was dying, one time he felt like a touch, and he got up and started praising the Lord and shouting, and he was having faith to the very end. But when he laid back down, then that night, when his a person that was caregiver was watching him, went out to have a little snack or something. Well, he died around 12 o'clock that evening, 12 by himself. But the Lord's will was to be done to take this man. Many times he was very weak, and he had worked so much for the Lord that he would just lose strength, but the Lord would just give him strength behind the pulpit. And it was amazing how God used this man. But we're not here to exalt that man. We're here to exalt God. But we appreciate our forefathers. We appreciate our everyone that has been faithful to the Lord. And we want to carry this on to our children and grandchildren and teach them the truth. This is the true Church of God. I was around a family member not long ago, and I just felt inspired just to be very straightforward with them. And I just said, I am affiliated with the true Church of God. I know this is the right way. I said, you need to come to the National Camp Meetings. You really do. You need to listen to me. They just looked at me. But you know, we need sometimes to speak very, very truthfully with people. And maybe God can take that and work with that. But we want to go on to some scriptures. The word Babylon means confusion. Confused religions and different religions. But I'm so thankful to the Lord after that cloudy day brought according to the prophecy and the prophetic truth, 1880, that was the year when it was first published. God was working with Brother Warner and others before that, but the Lord gave him a great inspiration that God wanted people to come out of sectism and come out of Babylon and be one church of God, and just like the Bible teaches. And I was noticing the song we sang earlier was about Cowper. I have read about him, and he was back in the 1700s. But if you notice in his song, he mentions Church of God. So it's not just them, but all through the ages, people had this understanding. God worked with people and showed them the true church. And I'm just thankful that he chose us to be part of that. Thank the Lord. Like we said, we want to make it very clear today, because of the teachings I'm going to have, that we are not here to exalt the man D.S. Warner. I read this, it says here, I wrote this down, for apart from the divine influence, he would have been very commonplace. We exalt God. God used his vessel, and for there, we respect that. And but we're not following him, we're following Jesus. But we just want to encourage you that this really thrills me when I realize that the very day that the Bible says light was supposed to come, light broke right then. Yes. And, you know, that gives me a foundation, saints. It gives me a foundation that I need to know. And the Lord dealt with me in early when I was first saved, you know. I never had a party spirit. I never was in sectism. Never. I wasn't raised with the saints, but I never enjoyed it. I enjoyed going to Sunday school, things like that, but I never had a sex spirit. When I was saved, I was immediately shown the truth, immediately, up there in Michigan. The Lord revealed the Church of God to me immediately, and I'm so thankful for that. But of course, you know, when we sing the songs, I'll never go back, I raise my hand, I'll never go back. You know, from Babel confusion, most gladly I fled. I imagine some of the saints here that have been raised from children up can raise your hand and praise God for that, because, you know, even though you weren't really in it, you were delivered from it. So we praise the Lord for that. But anyway, we just want to read a little bit. Please understand us today, our burden today. And we want to read the Revelations in the 11th chapter. We just want to encourage you about the true church. You know, the Lord just seemed to inspire me, like, we need to keep this vision ever clear, and we need to rejoice about it, and we need to praise God about it, that he called us to be saints. It's a high calling, even though we feel humble about it, but yet it is a very serious responsibility that God has placed on us to be a saint of God. We never want to take that lightly. Every decision we make in life, we weigh it out with, what do you want, God? Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do, you know? Because we realize how serious it is, and we realize we need the Lord's help. So Revelations in the 11th chapter, in the 9th and 11th, 9 says, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And it says in the 11th verse, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now this 3 days and a half is 3 centuries and a half, or 350 years, and that came from 1530 to 1880 exactly. And that is what is so wonderful about it. And, of course, we read, you know, I believe on one of our songs, I think it's song number 20, but it tells there 270 years was the morning church. And then you go on to the Catholicism and the popery and all that ruled, but the Church of God was still in existence. It was just under these problems and things. But you know, is that the right, I don't know if that's the right song. Yes, it is. 270 years. And then it says, oh, long dreary Babel night, 1260 years. And then there followed a cloudy day. That's where we're focusing on today, this 350 years, this cloudy day of Protestants, or they begin to protest the Catholic Church, and they begin to cause all these different religions. But this still wasn't God's plan. God wanted them to come out and be one church. It was going, you might say, it wasn't clearly a light, but it wasn't clearly dark. It was just cloudy. But God wanted to be clear. And here, where does this bring us today in 2013? I believe it's, you know, look how many years ago that was. What's that, 133 years ago when 1880 was around that area? So isn't it wonderful that God has allowed us to understand all this? And where does this bring us today? How close is the end of time? We don't know. That is only the Father to know that. But yet we do know that God, we are living in the evening light. And that is a wonderful time to be living. I think it is. I thank the Lord that we understand the vision of the church, don't you? I understand that. Thank the Lord. That's wonderful. So we want to go on and we want to read. I might read just a little bit of page 245 in this for the Reformation here. It says here that the Word and the Spirit are in the governmental sense operatively dead, the organized systems of man rule having usurped the place of divine government authority which these witnesses originally held. At the end of the 3 days and a half, 350 years, which added to 1530, brings us to the year 1880. The Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. They ascended to their place in the ecclesiastical heaven, to the true church, and there they were victorious. This brings us to the present Reformation. Oh, I just thank the Lord. I just thank the Lord that He showed us this and gave us this vision and understanding. It's wonderful. It is just so wonderful to understand that we are in the evening of the dispensation day. That the Lord has given us the understanding of the true church of God. Oh, it's wonderful, saints, that the Lord has allowed us to understand that. Never, never be discouraged. Never, never falter. You be strong for the Lord and be faithful to God, because God has a great reward for us at the end. But you know, it's so much like we heard, you know, it doesn't really matter if this gold streets, if it wants to be gold, it's whatever God wants, it's fine with me. But I just want to make it, don't you? We just want to make it to that wonderful place. And while we're going there, we can be happy, we can be joyful, we can be conquerors, and we can be faithful, and we can teach others about the church. You know, it seems like as we get older, we're a little bit more vocal, maybe, I would say, with people that we meet. Not that we push it on them, but if they want to talk about God, then I'm trying to be a witness for the Lord. Because I realize time is running out, and we want to work for the Lord. We want to help others come out of sectism, come out of this, and be one in God's church. You know, we can't make saints, but God can. And, you know, we just can't do that, but the Lord can do it. And the Lord starts with salvation, true salvation, praise the Lord. That's what the Lord does. Okay, in 12 and 6, we want to read, it says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness." Now, this is during where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there at 1,203 score days. That was before the cloudy day when the Catholicism and they were having all the persecution. The woman or the church of God fled into the wilderness and God prepared a place for her to protect her and encourage her. That would have been a hard place for saints during that time. And I know that even now we are facing some hard things in the world. Things are coming against the church in the world. False doctrine and the laws and different things that are coming against us. But don't be discouraged, because if you have this vision and understanding, God will fight for you. He will be on your side. And you know, God can do things that we can't do. God can move mountains. God can fight. We read in the Old Testament the different things He did. The battle is not yours, it is the Lord. We do not want to spend too much time worrying about these things, but pray about them. And trust in the Lord, because the Lord is able to help us. Isaiah 62, we want to turn over to Isaiah 62. It says here, 62, 1 and 2. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. You know, this is wonderful. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. You know, the Lord names the church. When people name it, they name it the wrong name. But God names His church. And the church belongs to God. We are the church of God. We belong to God, the people of God. Isn't that wonderful? It's so easy to understand, really. But, you know, it's just like we heard, you know, the carnal mind and the people and man rule and all that gets involved in it. But we're so thankful that the Lord blesses us and He gives us that name. I want to turn over here to St. John 17. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord ever called us to be with the saints. It's been a wonderful journey. You know, people do all kinds of things with their life. They can choose all kinds of things to do. They can go to college. They can pursue this, pursue that, you know. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go to college. I mean, but what I'm trying to say is there's just so many choices in life that you can do with your life. But one thing above it all, your priority is to be saved and be with the church of God. To me, that's a very high calling. I mean, above everything, no matter what you would accomplish in this world, no matter what you could do, you know, it's just nothing can top that. That's the greatest calling is to be saved and understand these scriptures and understand the right way. But St. John 17 says in the 11th verse, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." You know, isn't this wonderful that He keeps His people in their own name? "And I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." You know, saints are just not of the world. And I would say, well, you live in the world. You do things, you know, a lot of things other people do. But we're really, really not of the world. There's just a difference in us. We just very particular. We do not do certain things. We do not go certain places. We dress a certain way. We just are very particular because we are God's people. It says here in the 15th verse, "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even so I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You know, I'm just thinking, isn't it wonderful? Among the saints that God rules His church, that He takes care of it, that He blesses and He takes care. We do not have to use the word worry, but what I mean is just trust in the Lord that He's going to take care. Isn't it wonderful that we can plan on going to Monarch, Lord willing, and realize that God will put the ministers there that need to. Many ministers maybe go home, don't even preach once, but whatever God wants, that He will give the message of the hour. You know, it's our duty to pray for His church, pray for the meetings. Do not be critical in any way, but really put forth an effort to pray and fast and keep the right spirit and attitude that the Lord will bless His church, that it will be promoted in the world, that God will, now that we have different ways of promoting God's church, you know, that in the world today. You know, the Lord wants to use technology in the right way. And it's okay to use it in the right way, but we have to be very, very careful. We're living in a world that education and technology has surpassed probably what we would ever dream of. But we have to be very careful that we use things in a godly way. It's okay to use them, but don't abuse it. Don't do too much of it. Don't go overboard. Make sure you have God as priority. Nothing replaces time for prayer. You know, spend too much time on some of these things. And we need to spend time in prayer. And we need to communicate to one another, not just by typing. But even though that really helps lots of times, we feel like we don't have time to talk to people, so we can type them a little message, and that's really great. I really like it. But there's sometimes we really need just to talk to somebody face-to-face maybe, or just communicate to them. Let's not just live in a world that we do not have time for anybody. You know, we need to sometimes just vocal call somebody and tell them you love them, family members, whatever. You know, it just says that, like the little song, little saying says, you know, we send lots of roses and flowers at funerals, but many times we didn't send them nothing when they were alive. You know, they can't smell it then, and they can't hear that voice. You know, I mean, I like texting and all that, but sometimes I want to hear the person's voice, you know. Maybe you might say, well, Sister Marge, you're just from the old school. Well, maybe I am. But, you know, I think that we're all human, and we need that once in a while. And it's not, I love texting, to tell you the truth, but I don't even know why I'm saying this. But, you know, thank the Lord that His church, God wants us to take time for prayer and not be caught up with this too much. Oh, I just thank the Lord today. His church is so wonderful. I just love it. I love it. I'm done, you know, nobody stays around. And I'm not just trying to brag about that. But you really don't. You don't really stay with something 40 years if you don't love it. You know, you just don't do it. I mean, people, you know, our flesh is self-centered. And if they're not spiritual and they're not going after God, spiritual things, they're just going to they're going to drift away. But when you have something in your heart, oh, it's so wonderful. When you have that vision in your heart, nothing will take me away. Nothing, Lord. You know, we have a graveyard over there at Guthrie, you know. We have a Jerry Biden. We have tombstones there and everything. But, you know, it might sound kind of amusing in a way. But, you know, it's just like we just got our made-up mind. We got a made-up mind that we want to stay right with the saints and die with the saints. And because we know this is the truth, and it's been a wonderful life. It hasn't been, you know, people might say, like, well, why do you do those things? And have you really enjoyed your life? Yes, I've enjoyed my life tremendously. And, you know, I believe that really I've enjoyed it 1,000 times more, 1,000,000 times maybe, than other people have that didn't find the saints. And Jerry was saying the other day, it's wonderful as you grow older, you realize that the connection you have with so many people that you know that you have a church family. You have your own family, and you have a church family. And that's a wonderful thing, to love one another and know people for years. And it's just wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful that you know if you really got into a problem, you could call for prayer. And we have a network of the saints would pray for you. Isn't it wonderful? I know we were in our car accident. They really prayed for us, and they took us through. And you know, it was wonderful. We got letters from people and offerings from people that Jerry and I both weren't working or nothing, and they just took care of us. And you know, it's wonderful. One package we got was some cookies. Some of them were broken, but oh, it was such a blessing to me. Oh, it's not the gift so much. It's the heart. It's the love. It's the wonderful love the saints have in His church. It's just wonderful. You know, here in Acts 2:47, these scriptures just bless me so much. But, you know, it's just wonderful. His church is just precious. It says here, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, back in 1971, when Jerry and I gave our heart to the Lord up there in Michigan, many of you did not know me at all. And same with you. When you were saved, I didn't know you. But the Lord was adding to His church right then. And even today, as we're speaking, there's probably people right now getting saved somewhere. And God is adding to His church daily, it says, such as should be saved. And we do rejoice in that. That the Lord is doing that. Praise God. He's taking care of His church. Over here in Acts 20 and 28, we have a commission that says, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. We've learned through the years that feeding the people of God is different than being, even though we need judgment and we need correction, but the feeding is what the Lord wants, that sweet kindness, love, that draws His sheep to the right way, to feed them, feed the church of God. You know, I had read in one of the old books, and it may sound a little amusing, it came to my mind just now, but you know, when you just, it said, don't throw the corn cobs on them, but give them the corn, or, you know, it's a difference to do that. And you know, God's Spirit will work with people. He will talk to their hearts. And that's what we have to commit to the Lord, that the Lord will take His Word through His Spirit, through the right Spirit, will reach people's hearts and help them. So the Lord wants us to feed His church of God, and I recently read that scripture. It's because of the name again. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, it says here, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So they are called to be saints unto the church of God at Corinth, or unto the church of God in Louisiana here. You know, you're called to be saints. You're called with a high calling. You know, if we will not be saints, who will be? Who will be? And, you know, I tell the Lord that in my private prayer, Lord, don't let me let you down. Don't let me, you know, help me, Lord, to be all what you want me to be. Help me to be faithful. Do not let the enemy take advantage of me anyway, God. Help me, Lord. You know, Brother Warner, if you read about him, you might think that people did probably, you know, people do that. They see a man being used of God, and this one woman said, oh, Brother Warner, this is Brother Warner. And they just, oh, you know, they're so glad to meet him in person, you know. But he just said, you know, his way was, oh, I'm just one of the least of God's little ones. He always tried to keep himself humble and asked a lot to help him because he realized, you know, any man of God, any person of God realizes that they don't keep humble, God cannot really use them like He wants to. And they realize that it's a must, that they must keep themselves humble before God and ask God to help them. Because when pride gets in there and man gets in there, in any way it ruins everything. So, but the Lord wants to work with us through His Holy Spirit. This is why God wants to be exalted. He wants all the glory. You know, that's just the way it's got to be. God, to God be the glory for all He has done. Oh, for life and salvation, the gift of His Son. To God be the glory. This is what the Lord wants, all the glory. He wants us to give Him all the glory. In 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, we want to read a little bit over there. It says in 12, I'm not going to read all of this, but I just wanted to bring out a little bit of the scripture. But for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You know, if this is really true, we know it's true. We cannot be separated really. Not really in the spiritual way. We are one. We are one body. We are one church. Even if you live in Louisiana, and I may live in Oklahoma, or you may live in Missouri, or you may live But we get together, we should have the same spirit. We may not see each other for months, but that same spirit is working in us. And we're one body and one Lord, one faith. It's wonderful, isn't it? We're not going to read all that, but if you take time, some time to read that chapter, it's wonderful how God puts His Spirit working with us and giving us gifts and working with each other. Now, you know, I was thinking that I just love special singing. I love to hear people that have beautiful voices and can sing. But you know, and the Lord helps me to sing all right, you know, but that's really not my calling. That's not my gift. But you know, the Lord gives gifts in His church, different gifts. And then we to take that gift and do the best we can with it. And the Lord will bless us if we try, you know, and don't get discouraged, but keep trying, you know, because the Lord wants to work with us. He wants to help us. He wants His body to be encouraged, to be lifted up and be strengthened. And I was just thinking of different ones in the past. Brother Sammons comes to my mind. But, you know, Brother Sammons, we were pretty young when we were with the saints, and Brother Sammons was really in his early life, younger life, you know, preaching hard and traveling to lots of meetings. And so we were under a lot of his ministry. But we think about Brother and Sister Sammons, what they meant to us. And many times, Brother Sammons would be teaching on sanctification. If you remember that, he preached a lot on sanctification. And I think it's good for us to preach these doctrinal messages. And sometimes we may think, well, the saints heard that. They know all about it. But, you know, they still need to hear it, and the others need to hear it. There's people that come among us that don't know, that don't understand. People that first get saved need these foundations, you know. But there was something about His ministry. It's part of us. You know what I'm trying to say? It's part of you. It's a foundation that God builds upon. Jesus is the foundation, but His church works together to build us stronger and strengthens us. When we visit one another spiritually and encourage one another, we strengthen one another. Now, I'm not going to draw this on the board, but I'm going to tell about a little bit because it comes to my mind right now to tell this. But on page 290, I want to talk about the tower, the vision of the church that this sister had. And I want to try to find these books. As I was reading that, it was this is how the vision went. And I'm just going to kind of read this out of the book. I think it might be better to read on page 290 of For the Reformation. Sister Fisher was given a vision, and in this dream she had, it was of a tower which she and others were constructing with stones that were piled about them in heaps. The foundation was already laid, and they were engaged on the superstructure. Their work was to polish the stones and fit them for this tower. And I was just thinking about how when the Lord saves us, He polishes us. He works with us. We have to work with Him. And others help us, but it causes us to be polished, to fit into this tower. This is His church. This is His church. But she was given this dream, and it says they were engaged on the superstructure, their work being to polish the stones and fit them for the tower. When the stones were polished, the stones were clear as crystal. They were asked where they got such beautiful stones. She replied that they were simply such stones as could be found anywhere. Oh, I just thank the Lord. It's so wonderful that the Lord can just find us anywhere. Just like He found me just anywhere in Michigan, just a young girl. But the Lord delivered me from sin and saved me and began to work with me and help me and show me the truth, and show me the understanding, and reveal the Bible to me. I could never read the Bible and understand it before I was saved. I did try to read it once in a while, and it was just Greek to me, so to speak. I'm using that. You'll let me use it. But I just did not understand anything, hardly. I tried to read it. I was in such darkness. I was so in sin that the Bible could not be revealed to me. But once I was saved, I opened the Bible. It was completely different. Light breaks at last. I could read it. I could understand it. If I had difficulty on any subject, I would get out and pray in Michigan, ask the Lord, Lord, reveal this truth to me. And the Lord would open my eyes. It's wonderful that the light breaks at last. Hallelujah to God. It's wonderful. So it is in His church. That this tower, when I go back to, it says the stones could be found anywhere. Their beauty was brought out through the work that was put upon them. We are the touch of the Master's hand. You ever read that little poem? How the violin was just battered and scarred. But when the man picked up that old violin, it just played a beautiful tune because it was the touch of that Master's hand. That's what we have to have. We have to have Jesus helping us, touch us with this wonderful salvation. And any problem you have, any difficulty of any kind, Jesus can help you. He can touch you and give you the victory. Oh, the touch of the Master's hand. And there the capstone or headstone was also perfectly clear, but it had a blood-red spot in the center, which shone and which shed rays of light like streaks of blood down through the tower. This was her vision. The vision seemed to her so wonderful. She awoke. Now this is back in probably about 1890, what I'm reading from here, maybe 1882, something like this. And she woke and she said, Lord, what is it? Now, you know, when we read, we always enjoyed history. And this is why we enjoy reading about the older saints that years ago they're dead and gone. But we enjoy history. And just think about this woman that had this dream, this sister. She's just like we are. She's just a human being, just had a dream and said, Lord, what is it? What does it mean? And the Lord spoke to her and said, this is my church. Immediately, the scriptures came to her in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 18. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22 came to her mind. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. She then understood that the church was organized by God and that it was man's part to work with Him and let Him be the leader and the foreman, and that Jesus was the head of the body. But this is what is really, and probably some of you read that, but maybe I can find the Shepherd of Hermas is called. But anyway, that very day they had ordered some books and they came in the mail at this couple's house. And her husband, it says, the vision is very similar to the one recorded in the Shepherd of Hermas in the second century. It was a remarkable coincidence that while Sister Fisher had never heard of the vision of the Shepherd of Hermas, she and her husband had ordered the set of books known as the Fathers, in which the Shepherd of Hermas is included. And on the same day of her vision, the books were received and unpacked, and on looking into them, her husband opened right at the vision in the Shepherd of Hermas. They were astonished to find that her vision was there recorded and explained as the church, the same vision, in the second century. Oh, saints, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful that we are part of this? That the Lord has called us, counting us faithful, counting us that we would be faithful. If we do not be faithful, we will affect many, many souls. Even if you're not a minister, in ministry you surely will, but even if you're not a minister, you will affect many people if you get discouraged and backslide. You must not do that. You must be faithful to the Lord. This is God's church. This isn't just a church among the church. This isn't just a group of saints that got together and said, we're going to be called saints now, and we're going to do this, and we're going to work, and we're not going to have music, and we're going to work this all out ourselves. It is the Holy Spirit working with us. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, it would be boring. We wouldn't even want to go to camp meetings. But we have the Holy Spirit working with us. Blessing us. Oh, I sit in Guthrie camp meeting and all of a sudden this little sister started singing, the teenage girl in the back, and oh, it just went through me. I mean, the Spirit was with her, just the sweet. They were just sitting back there singing, And it was, mold me, Lord. Oh, I love that song. I asked her for the words. She gave me the words. But it was worth the whole meeting. Just that song. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I appreciated all the messages and everything. But sometimes just one thing just really does something for you. Oh, I tell you, all of a sudden, that's the way it is with the saints. Right when we don't expect it. Right when we don't know what's going to happen next. Here, something happens. And it just thrills us, doesn't it? Well, some people say, well, I went to Marnark, I didn't get much. Well, if you just say one day, say 10 days. Say all of it, right, Sister Roberta? Say it, and you'll get something. Isn't that true? Put something in it, and something will happen when you least expect it. I remember one night at Marnark one year, the rain started coming, and the storm skirt coming, and it was windy, was blowing, and it was getting really kind of scary, you know. And people got scared, the ones that weren't saved. We started singing, "Let be not afraid, just I." That's what saints were singing. But you know, people started going to the altar and getting saved. You might have been there. The Lord comes down. All the memories of the just, which shine brighter and brighter. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, it's just wonderful to be with the saints. We have excitement, we have so much excitement. You know, if you knew me in my personal life, and I don't, you know, like wrong excitement, but I like excitement, and I like change, and I was that way when I wasn't saved, but I like the good things now. And I tell you, the saints are exciting people. They really are. I just get so excited. I just don't know. It's just amazing. I want to go to Monarch. I want to go a little early, get things ready, and be ready. That's my desire. Pray. Sometimes I don't always get to do it, but I pray to the Lord. Lord, get the cares of life out of my life, Lord. Don't let anything hinder me, Lord. Help me to get to Monarch. Why, I wouldn't miss Monarch. I tell you, saints, if I could get there, I wouldn't do that. But, you know, I'm not saying we might miss it sometime. One time I had a grandchild that was born. I was a little bit late. I didn't get there till Tuesday. But I had to take care of that baby. But, you know, that's all I remember. I always want to go. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Oh, thank the Lord for His church. Don't you just love His church? We are in the evening of the dispensation day. I know that song might be a little hard to sing. I'm sorry. But I love that song. Because the chorus, I don't know, it just does something to me. I don't know. You have certain songs that just does something spiritually to you. We are in the evening of the dispensation day. And the light has scattered all the night away. I don't know. It's just the church of triumphant, the triumphant church. Once in a while, I hear among the saints, we'll call a Church of God song, there'll be another one. I like that times when we have that. And we just sing those songs of Zion. Oh, I just love them all. Love them all, the songs. Oh, praise God. Holiness can never prosper upon sectarian soil by under human creeds and party names. Brother Warner, he began to see light, and others too, on the scriptures that revealed to him that the church was to be restored to the primitive glory in the evening of the dispensation. And the Lord has called you. The Lord has called me to be part of that. Isn't that wonderful? In 2013, we're still going. In the Lord, He's still blessing us. And we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Someone said to me the other day, you don't believe in the rapture like we do you? I said, no, but I'll tell you how I believe in the rapture. I believe it just like the Bible says. When He comes in the clouds, every eye shall see Him, coming with His angels. And it said the dead in Christ shall rise first and be caught up in the air. And those that remain shall be caught up in the air to join them, ever to be with the Lord. And the earth, the world, and the things that are therein shall be burned up. No thousand-year reign on this earth. No beast to sting you to see if you can make it. No second chance to get to heaven. Now, I'll tell you what beast it is. It's this This Babylon, that's the beast. No creature with horns and ugliness and something to be afraid of. If you can make it through all those things, you can be saved. You better get saved now. No people are going to disappear. I see these bumper stickers sometimes. If this person goes to rapture, this car will be, no one will be driving it. I say, this is not happening. People are not going to disappear. Well, I made the rapture, and I told them the rapture, they were very quiet. But that's the true rapture, what the Bible teaches. That's the rapture. And I want to see Jesus someday. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing about salvation that's not exciting. You get saved, you get sanctified, you live among the saints, and you don't even have to look, you don't even have to think about dying in a bad way. Because that's our gateway to heaven. Something's going to happen. We're going to see angels. See, everything we talked about, all the faith we had through the years. What's the song we sing? Our faith shall be lost in sight. I don't know. I say, if it's the Lord's will, I don't want to just ask for too much. But sometimes I say, Lord, when I die, can I see the angels? I want to see the angels come get me. And, you know, but most of all, I want to see you. You're far above the angels. I love the angels too, but I want to see you. So Jesus will come, and he'll come to get us, and he'll come with angels. And I know when we went to visit Sister Catherine Williams, I'm almost done here, but she was, Sister Janine and I went down there to pray for Sister Catherine, and she had a really bad swollen leg, and, you know, we didn't know what to do for her, and she wanted us to pray for her. We was at her house, and we laid hands on her, and I must have opened my eyes, and I seen her leg going down. I mean, it was swollen, and it started moving. And so I punched Janine, and I said, do you see that leg going down? And she says, yeah. And her leg started going down right before our eyes. So why I remember that is because she said when she was dying, someone told me that she said she seen the angel at the foot of her bed coming to get her, Sister Catherine. So, you know, we don't have anything to worry about. We got the best thing this side of heaven. Isn't it wonderful? And we read one more scripture to close this message about in Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock. And he didn't build it on Peter either. He was talking to Peter. Oh, people, I'm glad he didn't build it on Peter. You know, bless Peter. He was a good man. Now the Lord helped him. And he really went out and thousands, was it 3,000 souls were saved after he was converted and got forgiveness. You know, Peter was a good man. He loved the Lord. He made some mistakes, but he loved the Lord. But God didn't build the church on Peter. He built it on Jesus. He's talking to Peter. You're Peter and I'm talking to you. And upon this rock, Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You don't have to worry about the church going down. I have a better vision than that. We have a better vision than the church going down. Church is not going down. I won't even talk about that. Because our vision is clear. God's taking care of this church. I just want to be part of it all the days of my life. You pray for me.